You recently shared before your colleagues in Congress when discussing proposed gun legislation that you grew up fearing possible gun violence in your own home. How was that received on the floor of Congress? That's where you made your comments, right?
Well, I hadn't planned on it. Most people don't.
Yeah.
It was during a parliamentary situation where was a motion to recommit, and people don't know what the topic was going to be. So when it was domestic violence, they came up to me and said, can you speak?
So knowing what you were going to say or just in general?
I had 5 minutes notice, so I didn't know what I was going to say. So that speech came from inside of me, in the bottom of my heart. You know, it's complicated, and that's what people don't realize. I did live in a home that I feared what guns could do. And, you know, this particular amendment was about allowing a woman to, that if the FBI hadn't finished a clearing of the background check in 3 days, that a woman could buy a gun or someone could buy a gun. Well, anybody could buy a gun. Quite frankly, it was the Charleston, it was the loophole. But I pushed back on it. And by the way, after my father threatened my mother that night, which is the night that I remember the most, but there were many other nights, my mother brought a gun. And it didn't make anybody feel any safer. John Dingell was a member of the NRA board. I don't hide from that. There are people. I respect the Second Amendment. But I also know that there are people that shouldn't have guns. You know, if someone's been convicted of domestic violence, they shouldn't have access to a gun. 73% of the women that are killed in domestic violence have been stalked by someone the year before. So we can try to keep some people from being killed. Just some common sense. If someone's a threat, that you know, the family knows that they're a threat. If someone's a threat to the community, they're suicidal. Shouldn't we try to get them the help they need and keep the gun out of their hands while they're getting the help? I speak from my heart. Mm-hmm. I speak from experience. I also research a lot. I'm Dr. Google. Everybody calls me Dr. Google. You'll always see
Dr.
me.
Dr. Google?
Dr. Google. I have my iPad and I do the research on issues. I'll probably, after this radio interview, get some vitriolic comments on my Facebook. Quite frankly, some of the most despicable, vitriolic, ugly, life-threatening comments I've had come over this subject.
Of guns?
Of guns. And the domestic violence, believe it or not. But I speak the truth, and there are some people that shouldn't have guns. And how do we just do some common sense things and work together? Kids should be able to go to school and feel safe. We should be able to go to a place of worship, be it my Catholic church, a mosque, or a temple, and not worry if you're going to get shot. I sit in the back, always sit in the back row. I'm a back row person wherever I am. I sit in church now and think, this isn't a good seat. Could somebody come in and hurt me? Think how many people wonder that. Church is where you go to find peace, not fear, violence.
Now to the hard part. We just marked the 2-month anniversary of the passing of your partner, the country's longest serving congressman, your husband of nearly 40 years, John Dingell. How are you doing?
It's hard. I'm not going to lie. I miss him. He was my partner and my friend. I'm trying not to cry.
I know, and if you cry, I will cry.
You know, I'm burying myself in work. I was a caregiver, too, and he was always the first thing that was, I was just told, you know, we were a team. So I miss him, and I'm not going to lie. So I'm working anybody who wants to invite me to anything, I'm going in the district, and I get up early and get out of the house early and try to go home late. So, you know, you just keep working. For me, work is the best therapy
right
now.
You're so open on Facebook, though. You share every day what you're going through. And now hopefully you're getting some support and positive feedback from that.
You know, when I was younger, I was so embarrassed by actually, I sort of thought what I was growing up with was normal, too. But you didn't dare talk about anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we all had to, you know, we were Leave It to Beaver, the Cleavers, perfect families. It does hurt. It is hard. And maybe we all need to, if we're honest, we help each other. And, you know, I can't tell you how many other people I've met who have gone through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And just having somebody that they can talk to and they share their experience, you help each other. We all go through hard times, and we don't have to always pretend that we're perfect. So I'm trying to be a good and effective congresswoman, and I think I'm delivering, but I'm hurting. And you could smile, and people would know I was lying anyway.
Do you feel his presence around you still?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't even throw his toothbrush out. I mean, it sits there whenever I... And I can hear him in my ear when, you know, he always tried to keep me. He would say, Deborah, a little, you know, try to, like, not be quite so intense. I do love the new members of Congress because everybody used to think I was the intensest member of the delegation. And now they make me look calm. though calm's never a word John Dingell would use to describe me. But, yeah, and I know he loves me. And, you know, you feel his presence in little different ways. You see the geese fly over. You know, you see... He loved the outdoors, and I feel him in so many different ways.
I know there was someone listening, and he was talking really right up to the end and writing down his thoughts. Is there any discussion of what will happen with those thoughts? Will there be a book or a movie?
When he was writing something, he was having difficulty actually writing at the end, but not talking. Trust me, not to the end. I mean, Steny Hoyer would come in that Wednesday night, and they had talked, and Marla Drutz, who's the station manager at DIV, had brought him milkshakes, and he yelled at Marla and I at 4 o'clock and told us we were not competent at putting straws in milkshakes.
Okay.
And so he was but he had some strong feelings. I don't think he thought it would actually be an op-ed till I showed him the Mike Duffy note. He wanted these thoughts shared at his funeral. He's written his book. I'm trying to, if I could show you the notes and the stories... I have had, and I'm still getting them every single day, the story that people have of how he helped them, how he made a difference in their life, the adults that met him as a child in school, somebody who tried to get into this country and he helped, a veteran that he helped, and the notes are incredible. I'm still too raw. I miss him a lot.
But isn't that a legacy we'd all like to leave?
It is, and I'm trying to live up to, I want to make sure I'm helping people as much as he helped people, you know? But I almost want to put those notes into something, but I'm not quite ready to do that. But it's a lesson to all of us in kindness to each other, helping each other, reminding us that we are part of a community and how we help each other. And by the way, community is the strength of democracy.
And how lucky were you to be married to John Dingell for nearly 40 years?
You know, there's no reason we ever should have been together, but God wanted it to be. And
what do you mean there's no reason? Oh, well, that's right. Because
there was an age difference. I was a Republican. He was a Democrat. He was divorced. I mean, he got annulled. We got married in the Catholic Church. I had dinner every Friday night with 13 Jesuit priests. I mean, it's amazing that I turned him down. I just was like, why would I go out with John Dingell? Well, we fell in love, and I know we made each other whole. We truly made each other whole.
Any final thoughts you want to share with the community or our listeners?
You know, it's spring. We're heading into Passover and Easter, times of renewal. We need to worry about what's happening around us. I'll go back to the hate discussion we were having a few minutes ago. John Dingell would want us to remember that we're all part of community. I think about it every day. Let's use spring and these holidays as times of renewal and to remember that we need to remember we are part of that community. And when someone's being bullied, someone's being mean, someone's saying something awful, stand up and say, we shouldn't be talking like that.
12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, thank you for all you do for your community and constituents, and thanks for speaking with us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Lisa, thanks for having me.